When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, happy UAP day. We're back. It's Stephen Diener right here, Karen Curtis over here, over there, and welcome to episode 29 of the Unidentified Alien Podcast.
My, how time flies. Yeah. We have missing time.
We do have missing time, and we just keep going and going, and we're happy that you are enjoying it, because if you've enjoyed all the other episodes, we really think you're going to like this two-part series. Yes, that's right. We're back with another two-part series. We've done them before with an ancient alien two-parter, with Secrets of the Moon two-parter. Edgar Cayce was a two-parter.
Oh, man.
So here's another two-part series, which is going to be whistleblowers. And we're going to start off today with probably the most famous whistleblower. And we're going to dedicate all of part one to this guy right here, Bob Lazar.
Yeah, he's amazing. And you know what? He doesn't do any of this for money.
No.
He doesn't want any attention. You know, he was on Joe Rogan. He paid for his own plane ticket to go on Joe Rogan's show. So,
yeah.
You know, this guy isn't getting anything out of it other than he's just telling you what he's experienced.
We had no choice but to use some of the clips. Because to be honest, a lot of the stuff that you're going to hear Bob Lazar talking is from the episode where he was with Joe Rogan on his podcast. But
yeah, I tried to get Bob Lazar to come on the show with us, and he just doesn't want the attention.
And he's made it public before that he hates interviews. He hates being on shows. He hates talking to people. But, you know, I guess he wanted to do his thing there. He makes some exceptions. We were not one of the exceptions. But
yep.
In order to get the sound that we need from him, we had to find a previous interview. So that's what we had to do. But
and here's what he sounds like about that topic.
I don't take any money from this stuff. And as far as attention, I hate attention.
Yeah,
I don't like being on shows. I just want to kind of hide in the corner and do my own thing. So that's, I got enough hugs when I was a kid. Okay. I don't need any attention.
Well, there you go.
I need a hug.
Yeah. So not like we're trying to, you know, repeat an episode of Joe Rogan's podcast
or
anything.
No.
It's just he had a lot of good stuff from there, and we want to cover it for you. And talk about the exploits of Bob Lazar. And if you don't know who that is yet, you're about to find out. But before we get into that, Karen, what is our factoid for today?
Actually, Stephen, it's 9 things we learned about aliens in 2021.
Ah, so I have a feeling this has an ulterior motive to it.
Yes, because we had promised you
that we were
going to start a little side podcast that would, what's it called?
I guess complement what we do here for UAP.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was going to be called, it is called the UAP Alien Updates. And
it was going to drop on Tuesdays.
The first one was supposed to be this past Tuesday. Unfortunately, I got the crud, and I wasn't allowed anywhere near the building.
So it wasn't the vid, it was the crud?
It was the crud, not the vid.
Yay.
I was negative for the vid, positive for the crud.
Well, plus you moved, so you were exhausted.
It was a lot going on the past few days. So.
And I love how you have a tin roof on your house now, so you can tune in alien sound.
That's correct, I do. It's a steel roof.
It's a steel roof.
Yes,
excuse me.
That's okay. So, but it was, we kind of overpromised and underdelivered. I'm sorry. I did not expect to get sick. And unfortunately, we missed that first little drop of the UAP Alien Update. So, we will have that for you this upcoming Tuesday.
It will drop on Tuesday.
And it's kind of a featurette. It's going to be a quick thing. We're going to update you on some of the most recent topics, some of the most recent sightings or news having to do with aliens. And the first one is going to be about, well, we have actually 9 of them, but what is the first one going to be about?
Well, yeah, we're going to talk about, we'll outline, I'm going to tell you what the 9 things are we learned about aliens in 2021, and then on this little tidbit podcast, we're going to delve into more what each one of these means. But the first one also we're going to talk about, there's something out in space making some crazy noise on radios.
Some radio signals coming in. 4,000 light years away, but we're picking it up. I don't know.
Yeah, so we'll get into that. But here we go. Number one, here's the 9 things we learned about aliens in 2021. Number one, UFOs are real and the government knows it. And that's why we're doing this podcast.
That's true. That's why it started at all. And that's why we're going to make that our first one on Tuesday for the UAP Alien Update.
Yeah, and so just the government, when was it they came out and said that they were real? Last year.
Yeah, it was last summer. It was summer of 21.
And then UAP, the podcast, was born.
That's right.
Number two, black holes could be alien powerhouses.
Okay.
What's really weird is there was a black hole that showed star formation, and usually black holes rip stars apart. So, oh, I don't know. It's very strange. Hmm. And number three is alien planets may look nothing like Earth.
Okay.
That makes sense. Number four, one of Saturn's moons may still hold the potential for life.
I like that. That'll be number four. 4 weeks, okay.
Yep. Number five, scientists may be ignoring alien junk in our own solar system.
I think they are.
Yes. There's some weird stuff floating around out there.
We'll talk about that in 5 weeks.
Yep. Number six, thousands of alien worlds could have watched humans grow up.
I believe it.
They saw little Steven Diener when he was three.
That's right.
Sucking his thumb. Number seven, there's no best way to communicate with aliens. I thought they communicated telepathically, but we'll find out.
That's what they say.
Number eight, our own technology might be getting in the way, you think?
And we actually cover that a little bit in this two-part series.
Yes. And number nine, the nine things we learned about aliens in 2021, alien abductions could be lucid dreams. And we've talked about that a little bit before about sleep paralysis.
Yeah, maybe controversial there on the final one we're going to do. But even after that nine-part series there, we're going to come back every Tuesday with the UAP Alien Update. But we'll run down those nine things in order over the next 9 weeks, starting this upcoming Tuesday, which will be February 1st.
Yay, and we'll explain each of these nine things that we learned about aliens in that upcoming mini podcast, plus the latest alien sightings and news.
Yes.
So now to the topic of the day. Bob Lazar claims to have been hired in the late 1980s to reverse engineer extraterrestrial technology. And this is really interesting because they wouldn't always show him all the stuff they found. They would just show him little components of it because no one was allowed to know everything that was going on, so he says.
Right. So just, I guess, a background on him. He was actually born in Coral Gables.
Oh, really? He's a Miami boy.
He is. And he claims that he worked at a secret off-site, like an off-site site, basically, an off-site base from Area 51 called S4, is what he says
it's
called.
S4. He was born in 59. He's 63.
That's right. So he...
he was born January 26th, yesterday.
How about that?
Was his birthday.
Yes. We are recording this now on the 27th. So if you're listening...
Happy birthday, Bob Lazar.
There you go. A nice coincidence there. So now he's 64. But if you're... Basically, Bob Lazar, in a nutshell, was a mechanical engineer. He's a scientist. He's in biology and chemistry and all these things, and just met the right people along through his career, and gets mixed up and says, "Hey, we want to hire you to basically do some reverse engineering for the government."
So this wasn't anything that he set out to do.
Right.
It landed in his lap. And by the way, he's a really smart dude.
He is.
But in this interview, he comes off really like an airhead, like he's got a problem with stringing two thoughts together.
Yeah, apparently it was said that he had a migraine when he did this interview with some of the clips that you're going to hear. That's what he claimed. So now the thing with Bob Lazar, before we get into some of his clips, was he's in there, right? So in the late 80s, he gets hired, supposedly, according to his story, and he basically ends up going to work on one of nine alien aircraft to try to reverse engineer some of this technology. He says that after he got out, he worked there for about 6 months or so. And then after he got out, he ends up doing this interview in 1989 with a Las Vegas TV station. And at that point, he wasn't willing to kind of go on the record. So he was using his pseudonym named Dennis. And his face was hidden. And he discussed his employment at S4, which again was, he says it was near Nellis Air Force Base, which is what we call Area 51. He claims...
Adjacent to Papoose Lake?
Exactly. Yeah. You know the area. And he says, basically that this base is located in hangars built into a mountainside, which we've heard before if we go back to one of our first episodes, the Dulce Base in New Mexico.
So there's no one that's actually seen S4?
Correct.
Other than Bob Lazar, who says it's by Papoose Lake?
Right, because if you remember our guy Philip Schneider, which I think was episode, four or five or six, I don't remember anymore, with the Dulce Base, he was the engineer working in the late 70s, drilling into mountains.
Right.
And he didn't know why. They just said, hey, here's the specs, build it in this mountain. Okay. So Bob Lazar's claims kind of matched that of Philip Schneider, that there are these bases built into mountains out there in the desert lands of the United States. So basically, Bob Lazar's deal was, after he got out, he does these interviews, then he ends up becoming famous because he's now open. He says, my name is Bob Lazar, and I worked at this secret location called S4, and aliens are real, and they have bodies, and they have ships, and I worked on one. And so after that, over really the past 30 years, he's become this kind of famous whistleblower that people want to talk to and get information from because he's gone on the record as saying, yes, these things are real, and I have worked on them.
It's kind of interesting because you say on the record, and when he went on television as Dennis and told his story, what he didn't know then and he knows now is that sometimes the government would give false information and like intersprinkle and mingle it with the real thing. So if that person was a whistleblower and that information came out, they knew who it was. In real life, it wasn't Dennis. They know that's Bob Lazar because Bob Lazar is the only one we gave this false information to.
That's right. He touches on that where he says they kind of put in some dummy things. So they debrief him.
Yes.
You know, when you go to work at these secret installations, you get debriefed on what you're about to do. It's a need-to-know basis, so they're only going to tell you exactly what you need to know. They don't want you asking questions. If you see an alien walking in the hall, you're not supposed to touch him or ask him his name. You just go about your day and do what you've been hired to do. And that's really what, you know, it's kind of how he describes it. So in these debriefs, apparently, according to him, they put in some dummy briefs in there. So they, like you said, Karen, can track in case you come out even with a pseudonym and say, ah, that's like it's like a fingerprint.
He didn't really know what was real and what wasn't, but then there was stuff that he had hands-on experience with that he just couldn't explain away.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
So he claimed that this site, you know, S4,
yes,
consisted of concealed aircraft hangars built into the mountainside, as you said. And so he started reverse engineering one of 9 flying saucers. And here he is with Joe Rogan explaining his experience when he first saw the one saucer.
They had 9 craft altogether. I only got hands-on with one of them, so I can't really say what how the others operated.
Did you see the other ones?
Yeah. At one time, and only one time, the bay doors that between the hangars were all open, and I could see all the way through.
And were they all exactly the same?
No, they were all different.
Different shapes?
Yeah.
But they were all from somewhere else?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, when we talk about different shapes, there's the pill shape, the triangle, the saucer, all different kinds of shapes of UFOs have been reportedly sighted.
Yeah, he even talked about, and glad you say that, Karen, because the one that started it all, for us anyway, was the reason why the government admitted to the existence of UFOs was the tic-tac-shaped UFO from the USS Nimitz in 2004. That's
tic-tac the case. Shape. Excuse me, I said the pill shape.
No, it's about the same thing. They call it the pill, too, so it's all right.
Okay.
So, but that's really what kind of opened up the door to the government to have this disclosure to begin with, was that 2004 Nimitz tic-tac UFO, as they call it, because the video went everywhere. It was a famous video. It was from a credible source. It was from the camera of fighter pilots. They were chasing it, saying, what the heck is this thing? We can't keep up with it. And then you see it splash down into the water. So we hear about cigar shapes, the tic-tac. We hear about the classic disc shape. The triangles, of course. We've talked about the triangles with the lights over Phoenix. So he actually described one. I've heard of a bell shape before.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard of the bell, which maybe we'll get into a different time.
The Germans had something to do with that.
Exactly. So we might get into that on a different episode. But one of the things that he mentioned, too, that I don't think we grabbed the sound of him saying it, but I can just relate it. He said one looked like a Jell-O mold.
Oh, jeez. Oh, yeah. He said that all the edges were kind of like blobbed in together. And
yeah.
It was really weird.
So think about kind of like a classic Jell-O mold.
Yeah.
And he said a UFO, one of the UFOs that was in this hangar, according to him, had that type of shape.
Huh.
So it makes you wonder, you know, why do they have all these different types of shapes for their aircraft?
It is weird. Well, because as we said last week, that there's different types of aliens, and maybe they have different types of ships.
Different races, I guess.
Oh, dear. So Lazar claimed that this unit that he studied, that the propulsion of this unit,
right,
it ran on an antimatter reactor.
Sure did.
And was fueled by the chemical element with an atomic number of 115.
Right. And here's the thing about that, okay? At the time that they were looking at an atomic number 115 element, I guess it's element 115, it was provisionally named, I'm going to try to say this, Ununpentium.
Okay. Did they put this on the elemental chart?
They ended up putting it on later. It's important to note this because it had not been artificially created at the time that Bob Lazar was working on it. So this was not a thing on the periodic table, but he says it's the key to what they were using to have their antimatter reactor work. It was working off this E-115.
Oh, I think it was synthesized in 2003 and later named Muscovium.
Exactly. So now he went on to say that the propulsion system relied on a stable isotope of element 115. Now, even though it has been artificially synthesized in 2003, it has not been made into a stable isotope yet. It's still very unstable. It basically implodes on itself within milliseconds.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
So we still, almost 20 years later, after artificially synthesizing this thing, 15 years after Bob Lazar was working on it, that we still cannot make it a stable isotope the way that he was working on it, which is what made this antimatter reactor work. I know this all sounds nuts.
No, it doesn't.
But that's what he described.
But it also allegedly generates a gravity wave that allows a vehicle to fly and to evade visual detection by bending light around it, which we know light bends because Albert Einstein and the eclipse proved that. And it's also important to note that this element did not exist yet when Lazar discovered it, as you said, back in the 1980s. And here he is with Joe Rogan again explaining this gravity reactor that he worked with.
And it was in the demonstration of the reactor working where it caught my attention to where this is technology that doesn't even exist. This was a small reactor about the size of a hemisphere, about the size of a basketball, on a metal plate. And when it was running, it produced a gravitational field of its own. Now, this is something that we can't do. We can't produce any gravity. The only way we get gravity is from large quantities of mass. But there's no machine we can have that turns on that makes gravity. Like, you can turn on an electromagnet and it makes a magnetic field. We can't make a gravitational field. Anyway, this device was producing that. And Barry said, almost like he was bragging, go ahead, try and touch the sphere. And I couldn't. It pushed my hands away, just like two like poles of a magnet. And that immediately caught my attention, going, wow, this is something else.
Now, I forgot to mention there, you were going to hear the name Barry, so you're probably wondering who the heck is Barry.
That's his new partner.
That was his lab partner, basically. Yeah. They were, scientists always have lab partners. You work on the project together. So that was his buddy. They were working on that reactor and trying to reverse engineer all the technology together on that particular ship that he was working on. And it's just, it's unbelievable because it matches, to me, everything that I've always personally theorized on how different cultures or races of aliens are able to travel and how they're able to move through far, far distances, light years apart, and make it over here. Because there's two options. There's either wormholes or there's that antimatter technology, which allows you to move at incredible speeds and have this anti-gravity type of, outcome to it. And if that's what he says they're working on, it matches my own theory. So that's why I feel like, to me, Bob Lazar, my opinion, you make your own opinion. That's what we're all about here. We don't want to come on here and be preachy. We give you what the information and you make your own, you make up your own mind. That's what we've always been about. My opinion on Bob Lazar is that he's the real deal. That's just what I think about him when you watch interviews of him, when you watch different documentaries, because he's been covered extensively. So I'll be the first to admit, we're not the first ones to talk about Bob Lazar here today, okay? But I just, he's fascinating to me because he goes into great detail about what he did and what he saw, and he explains minutia things.
Yes.
It's not just like, oh, hey, I saw this, believe it or not. Yeah, I actually saw this. No, he goes into detail in his stories, as you can hear there.
He's not bragging.
No,
he's just telling you what he saw or uncovered.
And he paints a picture. So he's either an incredible pathological liar, or, and that's possible, I guess, right?
Yeah, right, right.
Or he's recalling something that happened to him. And it has stuck with him over the years because, my gosh, how could you forget something like that? It's otherworldly.
Yeah. Also, talk about the other documents that he had a briefing on. He describes historical involvement of the Earth for the past 10,000 years with extraterrestrial beings, the Greys,
a
planet orbiting the twin binary star.
The star system Zeta Reticuli. So this is why this caught my attention right away. Not because it's such an outstanding claim. It's a fantastical claim. But two reasons. Number one, when he talks about having in the brief that he read documents describing historical involvement or aliens, their historical involvement on Earth for the past 10,000 years, that's my first highlight because we always talk about what? Ancient aliens, right? It's a popular show on the History Channel. You got the crazy hair guy, Giorgio Tsoukalos there. It's aliens, man.
Love him.
You know, he's the best. So with that, that's the first thing that pops off the page to me when I read about what he says he read in his briefs because that would match everything we've spoken about, even going back to Edgar Cayce, where Edgar Cayce, when we did that two-part episode, where he talked about the Atlanteans.
Right.
Okay, and that's about 10,000 years ago. So when you look at the Edgar Cayce timeline, which if you want to catch up on that, 850WFTL.com, search out UAP on the podcast, you go to the blog page, and you can look at the different things we had on there going back to that episode.
It's funny how almost all of our episodes have a thread that connects something to the other, which actually adds to the validity of everything.
Exactly.
There's so much homogeny. Is that a word?
I think it is, and if it's not, it is now. And I will fully admit, Karen, we don't try to do that.
No.
We don't set out every week to say, hey, let's try to connect this episode 29 to episode 6 and then connect it to episode 25 and they all intertwine. No, it's just like you said, because there's so many different pathways and there's different people at different points in time over spanning thousands of years who come to the same conclusions.
Right.
And so it ends up just kind of intertwining through different episodes. And that's what's then what the most striking thing to me about doing this podcast so far has been that.
Yes.
That we find these different coincidences.
The repetition of stuff.
And actually, that goes to the second thing for me, which is the twin binary star system, the Zeta Reticuli. We go back to our episode about Betty and Barney Hill.
That's right.
She talked about in 1961.
She drew it.
She drew the star system. She drew the damn star system.
We have that up actually at our blog post.
Yes.
For UAP podcast under 850WFTL.com. You have to check that out.
And that's
drew it.
She drew the picture, and you can see the picture, like Karen said. And that's going way back.
Oh, God.
When we talked about alien encounters.
She's not an astronomer.
No. Alien abductions, and that is probably one of the more famous alien abductions, 1961. They were just normal, you know, kind of your everyday New Hampshire people.
Yes. So she says the Greys took her there, right?
Right. Yeah. She says the Greys took her and Barney Hill, their husband and wife, and, you know, they were abducted, just to quickly touch on that because we mentioned them, and they were a famous abduction case because they had so much validity and so many things that you could not explain to this day, over 60 years later, that people can't explain about that case. One of them being that she said the aliens told her they were from the binary star system of Zeta Reticuli, and they showed her the map, and then she drew it under hypnosis.
Wow.
And she's not an astronomer, and she drew it in a way that would match, okay, that would match how you would see it from that star system, not how you would see it from Earth.
Whoa.
It was a mirror image.
So, yeah, and who knows about binary stars?
Right.
Well, actually, Bob Lazar does. Here's what he has to say about Zeta Reticuli.
There was some paperwork that indicated that this was from the Zeta Reticuli star system. Now, how they obtained that, I haven't the slightest idea. But it wasn't just from the Zeta Reticuli star system. It was what they called ZR3. So it was a third planet in that star system. So there was no other information about it other than that's supposedly where the craft came from. Now, is that true? I don't know. I have no way of verifying that. But that was printed in the same materials that referenced the reactor. Now, I looked that stuff up when I went home. And Zeta Reticuli is a binary star, two stars that orbit one another. And it's only visible in the southern hemisphere, and it's about 30 some odd light years away. So that's literally all the information I have about that. I don't know how they found out it came from there.
So just to point out, you can only see Zeta Reticuli from the southern hemisphere. So she would have no idea. She's never seen it before.
That's a good point.
In the sky.
Right, because they lived in New Hampshire. That's a good point.
And secondly, you hear him saying, I'm not sure it's true. That goes back to, it harkens back to what we were saying about he's not sure if they're giving him misinformation so they can uncover who blabbed or if it's real.
Right. And if it was the real information that he read in that debrief about the Zeta Reticuli star system, then again, that matches what Betty Hill was told 25 years before Bob Lazar read that debrief. So it just, it's amazing how these things kind of connect and how you can go back and say, wait, you have corroborating evidence. If you're talking about a crime scene, this would be corroborating evidence, right? I mean, I think that's a good way to put it. You would have something that you could point to and say, hey, that's looks like it's true because it's also being shown and said over here, and these two things didn't relate to each other, so A plus B equals C, right?
Exactly.
That's the way I see it. I mean, I could be way off base here, but that's my opinion on that.
Also, what's weird is that, and I apologize, I didn't get this sound, so
that's
you
all right.
can just fill us in. He says the seats of the saucer...
Right.
That he saw were child size. So, you know, we talked about giants last week.
Right.
And I think, you know, people on Earth used to be like really, really, really big. And they kind of figured out they, whoever they are, God or aliens, to how to make us one size so we could have the same size buildings. I don't know. But these were child size. And he said he saw cadavers of a corresponding size.
Yeah. So it was pretty interesting. He kind of goes into... He went into the ships a couple of times, and I can describe what he saw because I listened to his answers, and it kind of stuck with me. So what he saw basically was, number one, the seats that you said. He said they resembled child car seats, like you would have if anybody had
like a booster seat and a car seat. Huh?
Pretty much. You know, like you would have your little kid sit in the back of your van or your car or whatever, and he said that's what their pilot seats, so to speak, looked like.
Oh, the pilots were little kids.
So that's why it's very talented kids. But that's why it struck me, because that goes back to the description of the gray aliens always being 3 to 4 feet tall.
Oh, they're right? smaller.
Right. So we've always heard that when it comes to some of these abduction cases or descriptions of the gray aliens, that they're small. And they have the long limbs, the long fingers, the big bulging eyes.
Did they have the three fingers?
Sometimes it's four. So it just depends. If on a good day, they might have four. But it's...
So what happens when they turn five? I'm this many.
Yes, yeah, right. So it was interesting to me when he talked about the size of the seats, because that matches the descriptions we've always heard. And he says about the cadavers as well, that, you know, again, 3 to 4 feet even matches what they've said about the supposed autopsy video from Roswell. Where it's, you know, that bloated alien and it looked 3 to 4 feet. But they say that was a hoax video. I still don't know what to make of that one.
See, we don't know.
We don't know.
That's why they put fake and real stuff in there. So there's never any way you can put your thumb right on anything in particular. And this guy, Lazar, is no dummy. He went to MIT. He had a master's degree. He's still alive.
Yes.
In physics from MIT.
Well, here's the thing about that, and I'll touch on that in a second, because that's a whole different story when it comes to his degrees and everything. Because going back to the ship and what he saw, he also talks about basically everything was seamless. So you know, it reminded me actually of when we talk about places like Pumapunku.
Yes.
Where you can't fit like a piece of paper in between the mortar because everything was so almost seamless.
Yes.
And he said that's the way, when he was describing it, I thought of that. And he said that's the way a lot of this, I guess, architecture was done in these ships, where it was basically, he said it wasn't stainless steel, but that's the closest thing he can compare to it.
Okay, so he doesn't know what the alloy was.
Right. He said, but that's the closest thing. He said it was cold to the touch, and it was all just this gray color. But he said it struck me because there's no bathrooms, is the way he described it. No bathrooms. Everything was seamlessly put together.
Well, that explains why they don't have any sex organs or anything either.
Right. I mean, you would think if you're traveling across space, you're going to need a bathroom break at some point. So I don't know. But he said everything was just very plain, very simple. There's no art. There's no color. It's just gray. It's just steel. Very odd.
Well, I would hate it because if there's an empty space on my wall, I have to put a painting on it.
Right. Well, apparently...
I'm an artist.
I guess what that tells us is that aliens aren't very big on art. But he talked about a transparent archway as well. Like this archway would turn transparent. You could see through it to down the hall in the ship.
Cool.
So pretty odd descriptions in there. It's, you know, pretty, I guess, not a lot of controls. Just some controls. So, you know, that leads us
maybe
to believe that...
Maybe humans overthink everything.
Maybe. I mean, maybe they're controlling these ships with their minds. I don't know. You know? I mean, look...
Well, that's where we're headed with Meta, because everything's now in our head.
It's virtual.
And virtual.
I mean, look at what Elon Musk is doing with his Neuralink company. You know,
right, it's all
putting
virtual.
A chip in your brain, and you're controlling things with your mind. So
maybe they have art in their brain.
Maybe. I don't know. But that's how he described the ship. So it was pretty intriguing how he kind of went into detail about that. But you did mention, Karen, his education background, and I found this kind of striking because he talks about, well, at least anyway, was on record at some point as having earned a master's degree in physics from MIT, which is no easy task, and a master's degree in electronic technology from the California Institute of Technology, Caltech.
Right.
Two of the top schools in the world when it comes to that.
Oh.
But... However, there are no records of Lazar ever attending either MIT or Caltech. His supposed employment at Nellis Air Force Base, also known as Area 51 or S4, the subsidiary there, has also been discredited by skeptics.
Hmm.
They say that it never happened. And the Air Force says, nope, this guy was never here. Now, Lazar alleges, and I tend to believe him because why wouldn't they do this? That his records have been erased.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So my question to you, Karen, and to anyone listening, who do you believe? Do you believe these stories of Bob Lazar? Do you believe that he did go to MIT and to Caltech and he worked for, you know, Area 51 and the secret installation of S4 and worked for the Air Force and did all this reverse engineering? Or... And they erased all the records because he came out and talked, because he went public. So they erased all of his records to try to discredit him, make him look like a crazy person, which that's what I'm going with. Or is he just an absolute loon and he's making it all up? Where
mind,
do you stand?
The mind reels. Well, you know,
is he a real whistleblower?
I didn't really know about Bob Lazar. So when I watched the video of him, he is a bit spacey. And I don't know what's going on because he loses his train of thought very easily. And you said he had a migraine. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what they say when he did that particular interview.
He is a little bizarre.
Well, Bob, there's no doubt about that.
Bob Lazar is bizarre.
So, again, you make up your own mind. That's what we do here. So, is he a credible whistleblower in your mind? Again, probably one of the more famous, if not the most famous, whistleblower out there when it comes to aliens. And... Well, that's Bob. That's the tale of Bob Lazar.
He reminds me of the Phil guy that had his fingers
Phil
blown
Schneider,
off.
Who's also dead.
Yeah, because we think he was murdered.
They found him with a piano wire
around
his neck.
Like a Marathon Man murder. Anyway, it's so weird. It's all so weird.
But Bob Lazar is still alive.
Yes.
So, but he doesn't like to be bothered, as you can hear from that clip we played.
He is.
I don't take any money from this stuff. And as far as attention, I hate attention. I don't like being on shows. I just want to kind of hide in the corner and do my own thing. So that's, I got enough hugs when I was a kid. Okay. I don't need any attention.
So, well, sorry, Bob, we gave you attention today.
Big hug.
But hopefully everyone enjoyed
it. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Not a lot of pictures to go along with this one, but by all means, you can still go to 850WFTL.com. The podcast will be there along with all the other episodes. If you want to catch up on the previous 28 episodes, you can do that one at a time. It's all there. And also, of course, Apple and Spotify and wherever you get your podcast, you can find it all there. Because until next time, when episode 30 will be Whistleblowers Part 2.
Yes.
Oh, some interesting stuff there.
It's a good one, right?
We have credible, I mean, you can say what you want about Bob Lazar. We have guys who worked in governments, defense secretaries, who say this stuff is real.
Well, the government basically said last year it's real, so.
Pretty wild claims when you hear this next week in part two of our whistleblower series. But until then, it's Karen Curtis there, Stephen Diener right here on the Unidentified Alien Podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for enjoying. We'll talk to you again next time.
Bye.